Welcome to the Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Hyatt. Hey, so glad you joined me again today. You know, all of this week we've been talking about the role of civil government with the church and what is the church's responsibility towards civil government and authority. And as I have mentioned, this has been an issue throughout church history for the last 2,000 years, but it really became an issue in America through the lockdowns because of the COVID-19 pandemic, especially last year in 2020, when liquor stores and abortion clinics were allowed to remain open because, according to government officials, they provided essential services, but the same government officials ordered churches to close down because they are not essential. And this raised the questions of how far should Christians comply to such government edicts? Because after all, as some would say, Romans 13 and 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, we went over that passage, I think, in the very first episode, so you need to listen to that, because I show how, as you read further, Paul's point is that God is the author of human government, which became necessary because of the entry of sin into the world. If Adam and Eve, our first parents, had never sinned and opened the door to the devil and sin to come into this world, human government would have never been necessary. But it was made necessary because of the presence of evil in the world. And the God-ordained role of, and you can see this in chapter 13 of Romans, verses 1 through 4, the God-ordained role of human government is to punish evil and to protect the good from the evil. And so this was the idea behind the founding of America. It's interesting, America's founders had this idea of human government, of why it had been instituted in the earth, that God had not instituted human government to rule over people, but God had instituted human governments to serve the people and to secure their already God-given rights. Now, they had to deal with this same argument because, and you can read about this especially in my book called 1726. It's available on Amazon, available on my website. Check it out, 1726. Powerful book documenting how America was birthed out of a great spiritual awakening and how this same spiritual awakening unleashed the spiritual and moral forces that brought about the end of slavery on this continent. But in colonial America, they were colonists under British rule. And King George looked upon the colonists not as citizens, but as subjects under his thumb. And he began, also saw them as a source of revenue for the British crown, for the British coffers. And he began to impose all sorts of taxes and tariffs and regulations on the colonies that they had absolutely no say in. And so when protests began to arise, especially in New England, that's when, you know, one of them was what we call the Boston Tea Party. Well, King George sent over 6 regiments of British soldiers to put down these rebellious colonists. And so these British soldiers, they occupied the city of Boston. They used people's homes to house their soldiers against the people's will. They closed down the busy Boston seaport. King George revoked the right of the people of New England to elect their own governors and officials. And in their place, he appointed his own governors and officials that would carry out his will and enforce what had become known as the Intolerable Acts. Now, throughout the colonies, there was great concern because they knew that they didn't comply. If they protested like the people in New England, George would be sending British troops to their towns and their communities. And so there was a great debate arose over should they comply to these intolerable acts, as they were called, or should they resist? Should they not comply? You know, and there was an argument that said, well, you know, there could be advantages to complying and just remain colonies under Great Britain, because we could count on them for their protection. If the French or the Spanish ever invaded us, we could count on the British to protect us. We could count on them sending soldiers to help protect us from any hostile American Indian attacks. So, and there could be, you know, some commerce and so on, some trade. So there could be some advantages to trading some of our freedoms and liberties for the safety that would come with complying with King George and his oppressive and tyrannical rules and regulations and taxes. And so there was a great debate that arose. And one of the people, I love this, I'm just looking here to see if I can see this quote from what was his name? Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was totally against complying. And he gave a speech, a very compelling speech, that turned so many hearts and minds towards not complying with the unfair, oppressive, tyrannical rules of King George. And he said something like this. He said, "Is life so sweet and peace so dear? To be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take." He said, "But as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death. I'm not willing to comply." And so there was a great movement. And of course, they had to deal, because the colonists were Christians. Not saying they were perfect by any chance, but they were Christians. In reality, some in name only, but they were Christians. And so when somebody pointed out, Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." Jonathan Mayhew was a Harvard graduate and a pastor of the West Church in Boston. He pointed out, as we have earlier, I think it was the first episode this week, that this is referring to righteous rulers, not to tyrants. And then he made a very strong message to those who also pointed out that that Paul referred to the civil ruler as a minister of God. And Pastor Mayhew pointed out that Paul, if you read the whole verse, he's not talking about tyrants. He's talking about rulers that punish the evil and reward and praise those who are good. And he then went on to say, it is blasphemous to call a tyrant a minister of God. And boy, that was a heavy word to those loyalists who were wanting to remain loyal to King George, and was pointing out that God calls the civil authority a minister of God. And he pointed out that the passage was not talking about tyrants. And he said, it is blasphemous to call a tyrant like King George a minister of God. And so the colonies decided to declare their independence. And in the Declaration of Independence that was published on July the 4th, 1776, they laid out their argument for why they were choosing to not comply with King George and the British government. In essence, they argued that George was a tyrant seeking to bring them under absolute despotism. And there had developed this belief and this teaching among the Puritans and the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims brought it to America, that tyrants were not to be obeyed. Now, a tyrant is a person in authority, but who misuses that authority to oppress and control people and abuse people. He misuses and abuses his authority. And such tyrants, the pilgrims said, God had showed them that they were not to comply to such tyrants. Now we can see the influence of this in our Declaration of Independence. In the Declaration of Independence, they pointed out that George was a tyrant seeking to bring them under absolute despotism, and they described him as a prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant who is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. And they also went on, they delineated the extensive oppressive actions inflicted on them by the British. And they declared that when such atrocities are imposed on any people, and this is in the Declaration of Independence, they said it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. This was primarily drafted by Thomas Jefferson, but there was actually a committee of five. Joining Thomas Jefferson were Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Robert Sherman, and Robert Livingston. And Jefferson clearly laid out the case that human governments exist not to rule over people, but to serve them and protect their God-given rights. And I'm quoting now from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. They understood that their rights did not come from government, from a king, from George, or anybody, that their rights came from God. And that, and among these rights, they said, are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now listen to this. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Wow. They understood God instituted human governments to enable people to secure and to enjoy the God-given rights that are already theirs. Wow. And they go on to talk about that whenever any form of governments becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government that is in line with God's revealed purpose for human governments. Wow. And so, their statement that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men is a clear rejection of what was called the divine right of kings, because in the Middle Ages there had developed this idea called the divine right of kings, that kings ruled and their rule came directly from God and their subjects were obligated to obey them without question. And so it's obvious they had rejected that, because they said, no, we already possess God-given rights as people created in His image. And God instituted human governments to serve us and to help us and enable us to secure and enjoy and live out those rights that are ours as the people of God. Now, this is where we get the term in the Western world of people in government being civil servants. Because the founders, when they wrote even several years later, 11 years later, they formulated the U.S. Constitution, they begin with the words, we the people. Because they saw themselves not as rulers over the people, but as being agents of God to help the people secure their rights. And by the way, this whole kind of thinking, slavery, which had been brought into the colonies by the British Crown, this kind of thinking was the kind of thinking that provided the moral basis for the ending of slavery in America at a time when it was being practiced all over the world. Oh, my friends, I hope you'll get my book, To Comply or Not to Comply. Should be available this week on Amazon and on my website, eddiehyatt.com. Yes, God wants us to be a prophetic voice to the church. Yes, we're to be good citizens. We're to obey the laws, respect the police. But we're not to be just spineless, compliant, milquetoast individuals who don't know how to stand up and speak for the truth. Yes, we are to be people, prophetic voices, who will challenge even government authorities when they stray from the right and narrow way of Scripture. That is our purpose as the people of God, as the Church of Jesus Christ here in the world. God bless you. I'm Eddie Hyatt. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Awakening Podcast.